Hello and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the debut album from Ribbon Skirt called Bite Down, and it starts with a track titled Dead Horse. How do you stop someone from rising through the ceiling? Mid-sentence through the plaster you left your drink behind. How do you stop a ghost from getting up and leaving? Sit down, calm down, breathe in, breathe out. Thinking back now, it felt automatic. Are a band based in Montreal who came out of a previous band called Love Language, and the two main members, Tashina Boussois, who I'm hopefully pronouncing her name correctly, and multi-instrumentalist Billy Riley, and they had lost their bassist, so then they decided to move forward with a different name, new kind of direction and sound, and different configuration. And Boussois is indigenous, and a lot of her songs are about her experience as an indigenous Canadian and the history in Canada with how they've treated indigenous peoples. And I just found this album such a kind of 90s throwback, which always hits well with me, and just really interesting from anything that I've heard recently.
Yeah, it's fun to see this evolution, to go back and listen to those Love Language songs that are not bad, but they are a little bit light in their feeling. And this album is pretty consistently heavy in that very 90s throwback way that I really appreciate. And while I think there's a lot of deep inspiration here, but the songs still feel very universal. And it's just a lot of these kind of evocative lyrics. And I love this song where it's like, you have a bunch of verses in a chorus, and the first bunch sort of starts with this image of how do you stop someone from rising through the ceiling, which is like, oh my God, this person just kind of vanishing from your life, going up. And then there's an entire inversion of that, of like sinking through the floorboards. But that same thing of like wherever they went, suddenly they're gone. And I don't have to know what is meant by here to have it really hit me like a gut punch, alongside of this just really, you know, starts with really noisy before kind of settling into this really awesome groove. But even through that, there are these kind of unsettling string sounds that get kind of more and more aggressive later in the song.
And a little tambourine in the background.
Yeah, kind of shaker. Yeah, but then also really extremely warm guitar tone. Mm-hmm. Like it has this kind of watery echo to it, almost like a surfy kind of sound to it, that it really contrasts with everything else being so kind of 90s. Grungy punk sound. So I really love the mix here. It's get off to a fantastic start. This album immediately grabbed my attention.
And I should add that the album title, or the band name, Ribbon Skirt, is related to an indigenous garment that's worn by indigenous Canadians. And there's even a National Ribbon Skirt Day in Canada.
Yeah. So we get from this to, you know, this amazing opener to then what's the first single that I think goes more directly into her experience with her family, and it's called Cellophane.
Save me, White Jesus. Save me, good.
really dark, both musically. It has such a just kind of spookiness to it that suits the, you know, the subject matter, because this is directly inspired by the loss of her grandfather, who she's spent a lot of time with out trapping rabbits when she was a kid, and then he died when she was only 17. So it really hit her hard. And then that rabbit becomes kind of the motif for the entire records, the album cover. And then here very much just there's this vision about the thing being on the trap line and running away.
Yeah. And I think the sort of claustrophobic, stressful feeling is really well communicated by the way that it's mixed. And I don't usually notice the mixing, but this album is mixed by Greg Saunier from Deerhoof. And you just made a face. Did I pronounce it incorrectly?
It sounds good to me. I don't know. It sounds very French.
Anyway, it starts off in the beginning where her voice is really kind of far away in the mix and echoey. And there's that like breathy percussion much louder over it. And then there's the kind of like drum hit, and then all of a sudden her voice is very clear. And I love that effect in this song.
Yeah, it's really fun that there's, I mean, structurally the song, a lot of these songs are relatively simple, but mm-hmm. then I think the way that they're, you know, the way it is produced and mixed does give it a lot of dynamism, because here it's just kind of mm-hmm. verse, chorus. But you get kind of, those first two verses are very noisy with this kind of breathy, kind of very claustrophobic, as you said, and then it clears up. So then you get really a sense of progression that I really appreciate the song. It took a while, like I think the first time I heard it, it's like, oh, this song is so oppressive, mm-hmm. but it is kind of awesome too.
Well, and when we were first listening to this and like evaluating what album we were going to talk about next, you thought it was kind of like dark and depressing, but then you realized it was only the first two songs and actually they weren't that dark. And then the album really opens up.
Yeah, but I think it is a good trajectory to start the record and kind of get into this groove, and it's like starts darker. And then I think it does open up, and I think goes into the next song, which goes into almost like a radio friendly poppiness, even as it deals with serious subject matter. It's called Off Res. I'm gonna break into a death down the block. I'm gonna be a brand new headache to solve. Drown you in paperwork, skip down the hole. Solve the empty and broken ones here for all. They want 2000 Bobby Maria. They want my quantum, so they send the police. I wanna preserve every bird that makes me. Not only know, but really feel that I'm free. Not only know, but really feel that I'm free. Not only know, but really feel that I'm free.
Interview that compared Bossoit's vocals to Courtney Love and Live Through This with their grittiness and kind of emotionality and flexibility. And I can kind of hear that. I wouldn't have made that comparison myself, but her vocals have such range and such personality. And that's my favorite part of this record.
Yeah, this, you know, the record has so much going for it, but yeah, her voice really is so powerful here, where it is pretty, but she's always pushing it to the point where you can feel that she's on the edge, where the rough edges are showing in the best way. Like, it's interesting and engaging. And this particular song, as I said, is catchy as hell. And so much of it is, all of the music is so bouncy, but especially her emotionality in all of this song really pulls you in. And it is, as she's even singing about the challenges of her identity and how much, you know, the Canadian government has really gone out of the way to try to stamp it out, and how much she's just like, just being herself is this like, no, I'm going to insist on being my identity. Screw you. And it's so defiant and awesome.
I also feel like this is a good place to shout out the rest of the folks who are credited on the album. So Boswa is credited with guitar and vocals, and then Billy Riley is guitar, bass, and percussion. And then they also have Lan Thok Chom, not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, on drums and percussion, and then Scotty Monroe on synths, drum programming, bass, percussion, and viola. And then there's also Marlena Moore on guitar, bass, background vocals, percussion, and piano. And I'm not sure where they all came in. But this song has so many layers that you really can feel all of the experimentation that each of the players are doing that adds to the overall sound.
Yeah, well, you see those two that you meant, Monroe and Moore, are also the producers. So you very much get the sense of it's like actually a core four piece, including Lucas C.A. on bass. Mm-hmm. And then those two producers throwing in all of these additional layers, including the crazy detuned pianos and crazy synth sounds on top of like a really rock solid, just rock band. So it's a fantastic combination. Yeah.
And this is just such a catchy song too. It's like the one that you can sing along to.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's such a triumph here, is that they're dealing with really heavy stuff, but in a way that even as I don't think they're sugarcoating it, these lyrics are very aggressively engaging with, like, yeah, this is all dark stuff, but also she's holding her head high and making it universal without, sanding the edges off. It's fantastic work. And
so the next song we'll play is called Wrong Planet.
Has so much going for it. I love the intense energy, just, where in the off-res was kind of bouncy and fun, this one cranks everything up to 11. Let's just say it cranks it up to 10, but it's like it's so fast and unrelenting. And this, right timing, wrong planet is such a just great feeling of disconnection. Like everything's right, everything's wrong. And then it builds up to this just shouting in the right, and just all these different attempts to find the right way to be in the world. And, as Buswax describes this, it's this feeling of being stuck in a world that you fundamentally don't fit into, and weighing the decision of whether to perform a different version of yourself to fit in. And so, just in its own way, this, these themes of identity and a world that says, no, be different.
And the acoustic guitar is so propulsive, and this gave me very strong Pixies vibes, like the beginning that starts with the acoustic guitar, which we didn't play, but really reminds me of the beginning of Gigantic, and I keep expecting to hear that song when I play this. But I think it really has so much energy and emotion that I think this is my favorite song on the record.
Yeah, this was the second single and a fantastic choice because it's, they're a combination of melody and crazy noise and, melodic singing and screaming and fun and fury and dark, dark stuff. I mean, all these lyrics about, women disappearing. It's really a bummer and yet also a complete party track.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that she has talked about creating this band is that, she felt like she had a level of responsibility to take on sort of a band that features indigenous themes. And, you know, Buswa's mom apparently told her, well, you have to carry that name with responsibility if you choose that to be your name. And so I think she feels an obligation to tackle some of these more challenging subjects.
Yeah, it's, and again, if the songs were not so fun, it might feel like going to a lecture, but it's anything but. There's so much joy in these songs.
Yeah, and I think the lyrics are very impressionistic and, you know, can be taken a lot of different ways. And so I think that makes it not feel like a lecture either.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say, fortunately, there's so much variety of sound, mm-hmm. which also makes it great, that after a couple of really aggressive songs, things get a tiny bit more sonically open on the next track, which is another one of the singles. It's called Mountains.
When I'm walking to the corner store, feels like I'm sinking to the ocean floor. We got married under that big red sky. I felt the promise melt between my legs. Meet at midnight at the 7-Eleven. Some other version of my sales picture of heaven. No one will curse the day you came. You're making mountains of it.
Riley has said in an interview that for this album, they went into the studio with some of the songs very bare bones and then built them out while they were in the studio. And so he says that a lot of the sound comes from experimentation in the studio, which is not something they've done before. And I think you really hear it in this song, how there are like the crickets in the beginning, and then there are so many elements that are thrown into it throughout the song. We just played the beginning, but it does get much more kind of aggressive and feedbacky in as the song goes along.
Yeah, I love it. It's almost like this, and what you get these hints in that first chorus that we catch of this kind of little bits of screeching, a little bit of, it's like this, the thunder on the horizon, and then the second chorus comes and the storm hits, and it's just this sense of just like, I'm just holding on for dear life. And I love that the song has that, again, narrative arc and something that's, you know, 3 minutes long. These are not epic, self-indulgently length songs, and the entire album is what, 9 songs, half an hour, and they get right to the point. And you know, a lot of the songs, I feel like, yeah, they're very simple structures, a couple verses in a chorus, maybe a bridge, maybe there's nothing after the bridge. We're just like, yeah, we got our point across, let's wrap it up and move on to the next song.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to make an album, is when you leave people wanting more rather than like, there are some duds in here, or like the song goes on too long.
Yeah, I think the longest track on the record is what, just a hair over like 4.5 minutes maybe. Mm-hmm. And none of them feel that long because they're always stuffed with ideas, stuffed with energy, and the instrumentation here. They're a really solid band, and then the production giving it all of these additional layers without distracting from that virtuosity. And yeah, just this one, that the crickets set the mood of just kind of these nighttime vignettes, mm-hmm. and all of it. Again, very impressionistic, but really giving you the sense of like, oh, this, trying to exist in this really hostile world.
So the next song we'll play is called Cut.
How much the production elevates this album. But to me, this transition where we go from what I think of as almost kind of like rambling verses, these little touches of the viola and piano gives so much texture and drama to this chorus. And so it, you know, we get this extreme punctuation where I feel like you really get the sense of kind of wandering, and then boom, you don't know, like this just really decisive. And I like that transition.
But the viola and the piano don't really stand out. You have to listen to it on headphones to really pick out those parts. And so I think that's, again, a great job of mixing, that they're there that give you this feeling, but you don't, they don't stand out. And like, it's more subtly woven into the texture of the song.
Yeah. I had picked up the piano listening on junk earbuds in the chorus, but the fact that you get, yeah, that viola texture as well. And early in the verses, we hear these like, just of the piano, just kind of playing, like hinting around, like poking around, like, hey, can I be in here too? It's a playful record. It's like, it's very heavy and it's very serious. And at the same time, yeah, it's so playful that it's a delight.
But you talk about the drama. Like, I think this is maybe the most dramatic presentation of her vocals, where she's really pushing her voice and it's kind of like breaking sometimes. And it feels very desperate. And that gives so much personality to the song too.
Yeah, I continue to be blown away. And again, there's just, not fat on this record. And we go from that into, hey, well, we're almost on the stretch here. We're going to play, the next song we'll play is the
penultimate track.
Look What You Did.
The penultimate track, I really see the journey that this album takes us on. And Buswa has specifically said that, you know, the first track, Dead Horse, starts with a very anxiety-driven cover, and then all the songs in between are the cycles of different emotions on that particular journey. And so Earth Eater, which is the last song, is kind of the conclusion. And I feel like this album is sequenced well, in that even though I don't really understand the specific story being told, because it's very personal to hear, to her, I can feel the emotions of where that journey takes her over the course of the album.
Yeah, and so many of these songs, I've talked about how like the song kind of builds to, it kind of gels at the very end and then it just stops. And this one very much is that, where it's just like, you don't even hear like the look what you did is what we hit at the very end. And we get this progression where in these verses, the vocals are very kind of playful and almost childish. I think a lot of the reviews are noting the wet leg kind of vocal style.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Which you totally hear once anyone mentions that. Like, oh yeah, obviously. But then I love that then it's kind of the chorus slash outro. It completely changes and the guitar style becomes incredibly sunny. And I was super reminded of that Husband's record we did, where it's like kind of surfy, and some of the other tracks have a little bit of that, but here it's just a ray of sunshine and the vocals become less the kind of high, childish, playful, and more of like a mature kind of like, look what you did. And it, you know, almost has like a Pretenders kind of vibe that I really appreciate. And that all of that jammed into the song that's barely 2 minutes long. It's like 2.5 minutes long, if that. And so I love that. And then the entire record is like that, because the record is called Bite Down. And then that lyric, it shows up in the very last song.
Yeah.
At the very end of the last song of Bite. It's like this Bite Down Earth Eater is kind of this duality at the very end. And so the entire song each song building, the entire album building like that. And I think that's really playful. I think most artists want to, like, well, I'm going to start lead with the theme or hit in the middle and then have a denouement. And this album is just like all build, conclusion. And yeah, it's just, I'm done.
Yeah. This album was so interesting to me because I heard it many times before I actually went down the rat hole of reading interviews and understanding what these musicians were positioning this album to say and how they thought about it. And I like that you can listen to it on multiple levels. You can kind of hear the message that's intended, or you can just listen to some of these songs as just real bangers.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I come to the lyrics quite a bit later. I usually don't hear them as aggressively. It's not like the lyrics are low in the mix or muddy. They want you to hear them. Mm-hmm. But I still, you know, I'm listening for the music first, and that is what grabbed me. These songs are so catchy, and each one is varied, and then the album as a whole is so varied with the different styles. And then to get these lyrics that manage to be so personal and political and very specific and yet in no way exclusionary. Like, I have so little in common with her experience, and yet I feel welcomed in as the listener. Like, okay, you're welcoming into your experience and sharing with me openly. And that is so, yeah, it just makes for a fantastic listen. And yeah, it took, you know, the first few, it took a while to warm up to this one. And now, what was I thinking? That it really is, it's got amazing staying power. And I think if you find it a little bit not quite grabbing you on those first couple listens, I think give it like a third and fourth. And it really blossomed under repeated attention.
So we're going to go out with that last song called Earth Eater, which is also the title track. I know you like to point out which is the title track.
Yeah, and it's just a song that is so expansive and huge. Like, mm-hmm. it's almost cosmic, and it feels amazingly big and really ambitious.
Yeah, it's almost psych rocky.
Yeah, very much so.
So we'll go out with that. Again, we've been discussing the Ribbon Skirt album called Bite Down, and you've been listening to For the Record. Thank you so much for listening.
Member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.